You may be seated. Thank you, Garrett and Elise, and orchestra, piano. On the first Sunday of every month, it's our custom here at Grove to observe communion. And communion is something that the Lord Jesus Christ himself ordained for his followers to participate in. As we take the bread and as we take the cup, what we're doing is remembering the sacrifice of Jesus Christ for us. And as I prayed before, at the same time, we're also embracing his promise that he will come again one day to take us home to be with him. When I say followers of Christ, I said that Christ ordained that his followers participate in this. When I say followers, I mean everybody who has believed his gospel and they desire to conform their lives to his word and to his will for them. That's what it means to be a disciple. They believe the gospel of Jesus and then they have this desire because of that to conform their lives to his will and not their own. I have here on a slide, if you could advance it, what the gospel is. Just so we're all clear, when I say it's somebody who has believed the gospel, I want us to be clear about what the gospel is. And so I'd like for us to read this statement of the gospel together. What it is just several passages from Scripture put together to make one summary statement of what is the gospel. So let's just read it together. Hopefully you can see it there. We'll read it. The gospel is the good news that God is redeeming the world through Christ and that he commands everyone everywhere to repent from sin and trust Jesus Christ for salvation. Each of us has sinned against God, breaking his law and rebelling against his rule, and the penalty for our sin is death and hell. But because of his love, God sent his Son, Jesus, to live the perfect, obedient life that God requires and to die on a cross in our place for our sin. On the third day, Christ rose bodily from the grave and now reigns in heaven, offering forgiveness, righteousness, resurrection, and eternal joy in God's presence to everyone who repents of sin and trusts solely in him for salvation. Thank you. I believe that to be the gospel of Jesus Christ. And what I want to say to you today, this morning, is if you believe that gospel, not just with your head, it's not just head knowledge, okay, I know that intellectually, it's not that. If you believe that in your heart, and your desire then is to obey and follow Jesus in your life as a disciple of Jesus, then I hope that you will participate later today in communion with us. I believe, as I said before, that when we take that bread that represents Jesus' body that was willingly and voluntarily given for us, and when we take that cup that represents the blood that Jesus Christ shed for us on the cross, I believe when we do that, we are publicly saying, we're saying to each other, I believe. We're saying, Jesus is my Lord and Savior. I want to live my life for him. I love him because he first loved me. And by his grace, I want to conform my life to his. That's what this is all about today. That's why we do this. We are saying we believe. And so I want to say to you, if you're not ready for that, if you haven't come to that place in your heart where you believe that with all your heart, I want to say to you, nobody is here to force you into this. Nobody is here to single you out or judge you for not participating. We won't shame you or embarrass you. That's not what this is about. This is a deeply personal thing for each one of us. It's about what you truly believe in your heart. So if you haven't believed, we simply ask that you don't participate today, since this is a statement of belief. And I say that not because this is some exclusive club or because we don't want you to, but I say that because of the great importance of what this signifies for each of us. It signifies connection with God. And it signifies our connection with each other through what we believe. It signifies commitment and conformity to Jesus Christ as our Savior. And it also signifies the high price that God paid to save us. And so we do not take that lightly, knowing that blood, perfect blood, was shed for people who do not deserve that. And so this is a sacred moment. And I think just in our culture today, we live in a culture where hardly anything is treated as sacred or holy. When we talk about something being sacred, it's normally mocked or satirized. But this is a holy moment. A holy God sent his holy Son to give holy blood so that our sins could be paid for. And so our prayer for you, if you can't participate today because you haven't come to that point of belief, our prayer is that one day you will. You will. Nothing would bring me or us who have believed more joy than if there were someone who couldn't participate today because they haven't come to that point. But next month, at the first of the month, you can participate, because during that time, at some point, you repented of your sin and you put your trust in Jesus Christ for salvation. And next month you could come and participate. And what an amazingly joyful thing that would be. Yes. Nothing in life is more important than your relationship with God and where you will spend eternity. So I implore you, as if God were speaking through me, to turn from your sin and put your trust in Jesus Christ for your salvation. And the moment you close your eyes in death, you can know that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. There's nothing greater, nothing more peaceful, nothing that gives you more hope. For those of us who have believed, God says that at the very moment you put your trust in Jesus Christ to save you, you become a vital part of a body. That's how the Bible put that in our text that we read this morning. You are one body in Christ. And I just want to explore that just for a few moments this morning. What does it mean to be the body of Christ? And have you ever asked yourself that question? What does it mean actually practically, personally, to be the body of Christ? We know it's a metaphor, but what does it mean practically? And I want to look at that just for a few moments this morning before I open it up to a time of prayer and sharing praise. If you could forward that slide, please. We're going to look at our text there again in Romans chapter 12. I'm going to read verses 1 through 5, keying in on verses 4 and 5. Romans chapter 12, again, verses 1 through 5. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. What we need to understand here as we read this is that the Apostle Paul is getting toward the end of a very long letter that he wrote to a local church in the city of Rome. He was writing to people who had put their faith in Jesus. And originally the letter wasn't divided into chapters as we have it today. It was divided into chapters later as a convenience so that, like this morning, I can say turn to Romans 12 instead of saying turn about three quarters into the letter of Romans. We can conveniently locate that. But looking at that, we haven't looked at the letter. We're dropping in toward the end of the letter, and Paul has just spent 11 chapters, a good portion, talking about how a person is justified by faith in Christ apart from works, and he's talking about what exactly does that mean, to be justified by faith. And he spent those chapters talking about that. He's explained that we're not saved and made right before God because of what we have done, but because of the perfect life and the sacrificial death and the powerful resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he's taught just in chapters 9 through 11 that if you have believed that, if you have put your trust in Jesus, it's because God in his grace has allowed you to believe. There's nothing that we can boast about in ourselves. There's nothing that we can say that I achieved eternal life through doing this. It's not of ourselves. It is of grace, not of works, or else you could boast about it. And we can't boast. Our only boast is that God, for whatever reason he had, in his great mercy and love and kindness, allowed us a way to be saved through Jesus. And that is mercy. That is mercy. And now in verse 1 of chapter 12, he's saying, based on this mercy, the mercy of a God who shows mercy to sinful, rebellious people, based on that mercy, your life ought to change dramatically. And if mercy, if God's mercy, that recognition of what he's done, does not change you, I don't believe that you fully grasped the mercy that he's shown us. He says, I beseech you, by the mercies of God, based on this mercy he's shown us, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. He's saying, when you realize who this God is, holy and in all his majesty, and you see that he has shown mercy to undeserving people, then it's only our reasonable service. It's only our logical worship. The only proper response to God is then to humble ourselves and give our bodies to him to be used by him for what he wants. To give our bodies as a living sacrifice and to conform our will to his, to be used how he wants us to be used. That is our logical worship to him based on his mercy. And then in this passage, he goes on to show what his will is. His will is that we become vital members of his body, the church. And then this passage goes on to show what it means to be the body of Christ. And what it means to be the body of Christ is to take our cues from the head of the church, Christ, and then go on to be a visible, physical representation of Christ in this world as we are connected together, working together to be a physical representation of Christ to this world. That's what he wants us to be. And verses 10 through 15 show us some ways that we can represent Christ to the world around us. I'll read those verses, 10 through 15. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging and diligent, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Again, the first 11 chapters of this letter are doctrine. It's all about what do you believe. And then the rest of this book is about how should we now live based on what we believe. And I believe these short verses here, they kind of encapsulate how 11 chapters of doctrine ought to cause us to live. And the interesting thing when I read through here is I thought, that's how Jesus lived. Isn't it? That's how Jesus lived when he was on earth. And this, by God's grace, is how we as a church ought to live. It's how we ought to treat each other. It's how a body functions. It works together. It cares for the other members of itself. And if I could sum up just what we see here in these verses with one word, that word would be empathy. You know, empathy is the ability to humbly enter yourself into someone else's world, to put yourself in their place, in their shoes, and feel what they feel. One person said it, it's to wear their pain or their joy. If you could go ahead once on that slide, I saw this little cartoon. I thought it's kind of a good explanation of kind of what sympathy is and what empathy is. Sympathy, and you won't be able to see it just because of the light here, but sympathy, the one monster says to the other, I'm so sorry, that's awful. And so he's trying to identify, he's speaking to him, words of encouragement, trying to identify. But empathy, he says nothing, but you can't see it here, but there's tears welling up in his eyes. He's entering into the pain of the other person. And that's what empathy is. And that's exactly what we see here. And that's what we see in Jesus. Jesus knew how to empathize with people. He went so far as to take on himself a human body. God the Son, came in human flesh, and he did that for us. And by taking on human flesh, he didn't lose any of his divinity. He's God. But he's now God and man, 100% God, 100% man. But by taking humanity onto himself, now he can relate in a very empathetic way to what we go through. He knows the joys and pains of life in these human bodies. And I want you to think of that. When you take the bread, I want you to think of that. This represents his body, and he took on himself a body so he could empathize with you, and so he could then deliver that human body to be a sacrifice for us. You know, before he took on the body, before he became a man, he never experienced, for example, what it is to stub a toe. He didn't have that personal experience. He didn't know what it was like to be thirsty. He didn't know experientially what a hug from a mother or father felt like. He had never before been judged on his appearance as a human being, which later he was. He never shed a tear of joy at a friend's wedding, and he never shed a tear of pain at a funeral until he took on a human body. And never before did he feel the pain and agony of thorns entering into his skull and nails being put in his hands and in his feet. But he became a man so that he could save mankind, so that he could help mankind, and so that he could empathize, thank you. So that he could empathize with both our joys and sufferings. And in that way, he's such a great high priest, a our Lord Jesus Christ. And in the church body, the body of Christ, empathy is the lifeblood that circulates through the body that makes it alive. Love, loving empathy for one another. And that's what these verses talk about. We're patient with one another. We give preference to one another. We help with the needs of others. We rejoice with those who rejoice. And I was so happy when I think Dave announced that Sue Keener was back from having been out so long with her broken bones, that the church just kind of erupted in spontaneous applause. That was not planned. That was rejoicing with those who rejoice, because one part of the body was hurt and was out, and now she was rejoined, and so the body rejoices in that because it's vitally connected to each other. There's, like Dave Wilcox said in Sunday school, there's this ripple effect in the body when one part is happy or one part is hurt. And it affects the body in profound ways. We weep with those who weep. That's how the body ought to function. And so let's continue to strive for that empathy, to enter into the feelings. Just as a body part, the whole body feels the pain of one part when it's hurt. Let's strive for that, to be the body Christ has called us to be. And this morning, I'd just like to practice that. I'd like to practice what we see here. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Of course, as a body, we don't just obey this text on Sunday when we're together. That's not what it's about. Not just when we're within these walls, then we act like a body. No. It's every day. But today, while we're together as the body, I want us as a body to hear what God is doing in the body. We don't always have the opportunity just to hear how God's working in the body. And just share both our joys and our burdens. And we're going to start out with prayer. Prayer request, Pastor Nate, if you could help me with that, with the mic. Sorry to catch you off. Are you going to be okay with that, or I can get someone else? Okay. Okay. I didn't mean to leave you high and dry with the kids there. What we're going to do, we're going to take some prayer requests for a few moments, and then I'll pray for those requests this morning. I've got my pen here to write things down. We just want to bear each other's burdens for a little while. We'll do that for a little while. You know, I hate for time's sake that we're, you know, we have to actually cut things. I really don't want to cut anybody, but I do have to be cognizant of the time. But if you just share, if you have a request like we normally do, if you can briefly share your request, and we just want to lift that up as a body today. And then what I'm going to do after that is open it up to some testimonies of how God is working. I don't know how much time we'll have for, you know, unlimited testimonies. But we'll do some testimonies. And with those testimonies, I just want to say the focus should be on giving God the glory for what he's doing, right? He must increase, we must decrease. So focus your praise on God with your testimonies. And we just want to rejoice with those who rejoice in God's goodness. That's all we want to do today. We want to bear each other's burdens in prayer, and we want to rejoice with those who rejoice. We want to be a body. And then we'll go to the Lord's Supper after we sing a hymn. So if you have a prayer request, just you can slip up your hand. Pastor Nate has a microphone just so we can all hear it. And share if the Lord lays that on your heart.
How is Anthony doing?
Yeah. Yeah, so it'll probably work its way back where Anthony can tell, but Anthony was in the hospital in Chicago this weekend, so that's why Jeanette's asking, but he's here today with us, and we're pleased about that.
Teresa Freed, we have a daughter in crisis that we would appreciate prayer for. It's a serious issue, but we know God is bigger yet. And just by way of also a quick praise, we lost something quite valuable this week, and I'm embarrassed to even say what, but it was valuable. And the Lord showed me in a dream one day this week where it was, and it was right where the dream the Lord showed us it was. So we're just praising the Lord that he, like the lady that lost the coin, she scoured and cleaned, and we did a lot of that, and it was in a place we don't even remember putting it there, but the Lord knew. So we're just praising him for that. So.
Amen. Thanks for sharing, Teresa.
Now we should pray for our son Joel for a job here in the Lansing area, and also pray for the international students. I think there's students from 130 countries at Michigan State University, and there's several from Saudi Arabia and thousands from China. So,
thank you.
Stephanie Case. I'd like some prayer for my family and myself. One thing after another just keeps happening in my family, and for myself, I've lost trust in God, and I don't want it to be that way, but it is. So please pray for me. Yeah.
Thank you, Stephanie.
So many of you know I'm Renee, and my parents live in Florida. They moved down there a year or two ago, and they went through the hurricane. My stepfather found out he had cancer. They're trying to get the medication that he needs, but it costs too much money, so they had to apply for a grant, which hasn't come back yet. And he failed a stress test the other day for his heart. So needless to say, they're going through a few things, but my parents have faith, and my mom and my stepdad, I talked to them both this past week. Their spirits are good. But I would just ask that you would continually pray for them as they go through this season in their lives. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
I'd like you to pray for Rita. She didn't come to church this morning, and just over the things in the past and our trip down to North Carolina, it just added some stress to her, and she has a condition that when there's a lot of stress, things happen. So if you would pray for her.
Yeah. Thanks, Frank.
My sister-in-law, Betty, is in the last stages of Parkinson's. Not sure how much longer she'll be with us. And so it's really tough on the family. And her husband, my brother David, is having to take care of everything around the house. And so it's very, very stressful for him also. So please pray for Dave and Betty Bickford.
Kurt Keener, I would like you to pray for Susan. She has to go back tomorrow at 1 o'clock. They're going to do a manipulation on her knee to try to make it bend. So they're going to put her to sleep, and they're going to do it by hand, mechanically, whatever they call it, and they're going to try to make it where it will work. Please pray for her. Thank you.
Okay.
My name is Larry. I'm homeless, and I need to find an apartment, place to live. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Sally. I just would ask for y'all to pray for a situation at my home that may involve a little more money than we have at the moment, but just pray that it gets resolved without that having to happen. Thank you.
I'm Arlene Rowland, and I know Teresa's been very faithful to pray for my children in this bank situation. And I don't know what's going on, but I just felt the Lord's going to take care of this. But if you would pray with me that this would be resolved, because if he makes a payment, they won't even give him a receipt because there's something going on. And so I know it needs to be taken care of, and I just feel that it will be. But if you will pray with me, that would be great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Anthony Lang. We were, I was at a business trip in Chicago this week for work, and Wednesday evening, got the call that my grandma went to be with the Lord at about 9:30, and woke up at about 1:30 with my heart in atrial fibrillation. So I went to the hospital in Chicago. Just got out last night at around 5 o'clock. Glad to be home, glad to be feeling better. Could definitely use a lot of prayer this week. I'll be doing my grandmother's funeral, and I've never done anything like this before. I don't know how emotional I'm going to be. A lot of my family isn't saved, and I'm going to do my best with everything I know how to do to share the gospel as clearly as possible. So I could just use a lot of prayer. So thanks.
Thank you.
And sorry, my family could use a lot of prayer as well, just as we go through all this, all these things. So thanks.
Let's take these things to the Lord in prayer.
Oh God, we come before you. You know us. You know us intimately. You are before us and behind us and above us and beneath us. You completely surround us, and you know our thoughts before we speak them. Lord, we thank you for your compassion on us as people. We thank you that even in this moment, though thousands may be praying to you at this very moment, and yet you hear, you know, you care. You're high above us, and yet you're present with us. And so, Lord, we thank you for this holy place, this place where we find refuge and we find strength in the shadow of the Almighty. God, I thank you for the body. God, I thank you for the life you've given us through Christ. And God, I know that even with what was said here, there are so many more requests that are heavy on our hearts, Lord. Many that weren't mentioned, many that people are feeling even at this moment. So God, we lift each person here before you. We ask for your work to be done in their lives. God, we ask that if there is a soul here today that does not know Jesus as their Savior, God, that they would stop and consider who Christ is. They would see him as beautiful and sufficient and as Savior and as Lord, and that they would give themselves to you today, Lord, that they would put their trust fully and completely in Jesus and turn from the selfish way, the sinful way. God, we ask you to save souls. We ask you to save souls. We ask for our community, God, that you would make us a lighthouse of truth here in the community. God, that you'd teach us how to be able to speak your truth and never kind of cut corners on the truth, and yet be very loving in the way we communicate it. We need your wisdom for that. We need your wisdom in how to balance truth and grace. We don't know how to do that. We need Christ for that. Help us.
God, I lift before you the requests that were mentioned this morning. God, we ask in behalf of Teresa and Larry, we lift up their daughter who's in crisis, and we ask for you to come and give wisdom to her, give wisdom to the family. God, give grace to know how to navigate this situation. Lord, work as only you can to bring good out of hardness. God, work in hearts, Lord, to shed light on where truth needs to be, have a light shed on it, God. And I just pray for her. I pray for her right now. God, we praise you together that she was able to find this thing and that you led her in that way, that she sought you and you answered. And you led in such a miraculous way. God, we lift up Alan's request for his son, Joel. God, we gather and unite as a body here just asking that you would provide a job for him that will be able to be just what they need, God, to support their family and be a fit for him and be according to your will. God, we ask for Alan and Erica as they reach out to the international students that you would give them wisdom and open doors for ministry. We lift up Stephanie, God, and we ask just through your spirit, we don't even know, honestly, how to ask, but we see the need. God, she wants to trust you and is having difficulty doing that right now. God, work in her heart in such a way that her trust is restored. And God, we do pray for her family as things seem to be piling up one after another. God, that you would give relief in that, give grace in that. Make a way of escape that they may be able to bear it, Lord, through your son. God, we lift up Walter, Renee's stepdad, and her mother. And God, as they go through this difficult time with their health, especially Walter's health with this cancer diagnosis, and then more news about a treatment he needs, and yet it's expensive, and they've got a house here that needs to be sold, and there's so many concerns all wrapped up into that request. And God, I just pray that you would meet their needs in a way that only you can. And God, during this time, just I pray that you would give them peace and clarity in their thinking. God, I pray that they wouldn't grow discouraged or be in despair, but God, you would lift them up. God, I pray for Rita. Lord, we ask for our sister this morning. Lord, just the emotional, mental pain that she's struggling with right now, the stress that she's under. Oh, God, wrap her in your care right now. Let her know that you're with her. Let her feel your presence with her in a special way. I pray, God. God, we ask, we'll take a door with Al for his brother as he's caring for his wife who's in the last stages of Parkinson's. God, we ask for Betty and for David that you would give David love and patience, and that you would give him grace in this time, and for Betty too, Lord, we ask. Lord, we lift up Sue as she has her procedure tomorrow. God, it just sounds like a painful thing, and I pray that she wouldn't have to experience pain with this. I pray that they'd be able to get that leg to mend and the knee to bend and the things that she needs to be able to walk. Oh, God, I pray for Sue. I lift her up this morning. Pray for Larry. God, I think you brought him here this morning in your will and in your providence, and you put him here. And God, he has a need, Lord. He has something that is one of the most basic of needs. He needs shelter. He needs a roof over his head. He needs a home. And so, God, just as you shelter the animals and the birds, God, I pray that you would provide for him in a special way a home. God, show us, give us wisdom in what we can do to help Larry, God. I pray for him this morning. I pray for Sally and this financial issue. God, I pray for a resolution to that where it wouldn't become a burden on Sally. And we lift up Steve, too, with a
similar financial requests, Arlene's son, God, and just the situation there with the bank. We pray for resolution. We know he's had a difficult year losing his wife. And God, I pray that you would work this out according to your will and continue to draw Steve to you, God. And then we lift up Anthony's request, God. We feel intimately this loss of Linda, God. And God, I pray for the family. I pray you would surround the family with your peace, the peace in knowing that she's with you right now, God. That's what we cling to right now. We don't see her here physically, but we know that spiritually right now she's more alive than ever. And so, God, we thank you for that. We thank you for your promises. And God, I pray that you would guide Anthony. I thank you for that he was able to check out of the hospital and be here with us today. And I pray for his AFib, Lord, that they'd be able to get that under control. And I especially pray as he conducts this funeral, Lord, that you would just lift him up and strengthen him, give him the ability to do that and to share the gospel in a clear way, so even in front of his family, God. We pray you'd give him just divine wisdom in how to do that, and then emotional strength for that day. We lift these and other requests to you this morning, thanking you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. I thank the Lord that he bears our burdens. What would we do without the Lord? Maybe someone would like to share just a testimony of praise this morning before we go into our time of communion.
A bunch of us ladies went to Camp Barakel last weekend, and it was so wonderful. The speaker talked about our beautiful God, and we hated to come home. And I was lying in bed Sunday night and thinking, oh, I wanted to talk more with a friend that was up there, and it wouldn't be wonderful if she walked in the door and we just started talking. And then the Lord reminded me that he had given me a scripture. This scripture's come up several times just in the past week or so. Set your hope fully on the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And so I thought, what if I could see Jesus just walk in the door of my house? And I thought, first of all, I'd be down on my face, you know, and his brightness and glory. And then he would touch me and he would say, I love you. And he would lift me up and talk to me. And it gave me a new focus. I praise God.
Anybody else?
We had some car trouble this week, and when it got repaired, the mechanic and the secretary said to me, they just kept repeating over and over, someone was really looking out for you because that engine should have blown up. And it gave me the chance to say, yes, someone was looking out for me, and it was the Lord.
Anybody else? We don't want you to miss your opportunity.
Well, I found this out a little while ago. It's just a little experiment with air conditioner and plastic bags. So you put the plastic bag at the top of the air conditioner, and then it fills up and it's alive. And then you put it down at the bottom, and it's like sucked up, and there's no air in it, so it's dead. So it's like, when we are with God, we are alive, and we are. And when sin controls our lives, we are dead.
Thank you, Isaac. That's cool. I'll have to try that out.
I know when I asked for prayer for my mom and my stepdad, I told you that they had faith, but I just wanted to expound on that just a little bit. When I was in high school and growing up my whole life, I would get up in the morning and I would see my mom praying at the kitchen table and doing her devotions every day. And she gave that to me, that desire to be that type of a person. And I just want to praise God for that legacy in my life and for that hope now that she's going through all of this, that I know she isn't going through it alone. And I also want to thank God that that has put in me a desire to be in a praying church and that we have that here. And I know that you pray for me and I pray for you, and that connects us in a way that is, it's not something that you can see, but it is tangible.
We'll have time for one more.
I just want to share with you a praise for our daughter, Shannon. When we went down to Duke University, they actually found out the exact cause for her migraines, and she'll be going back for a surgical procedure, and it will totally take care of it, and she will not have any more problems, we are told. So that's a praise, because it took 14 years to figure that out. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
I would just like to take this opportunity to just praise God for our church body. I just am very grateful for that, and just being in Chicago with Anthony, and it was just really special to receive different texts and from different people and saying that they were praying for us, and it kind of goes, it reaches even beyond like us. My mom was with me for the last 3 days, and like, it just even, like, touched her a lot, just to see, like, my church body reaching out to me, and she even, like, commented on that, and so it doesn't just affect us, like, it affects other people, and I really am just so grateful for Pastor BJ and Melissa, and I do just praise God for the leaders that they are, and just how they reach out to us, and just how God uses them to touch us a lot, so, yeah, I'm pretty thankful for that.